That moment when you come on stage and you have nowhere to put your notes. Hey, my name is Mark, one of the pastors here at Fellowship Church. Would you guys pray with me? Father, thank you for what you want to do this morning. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives every single day, God. You are intimate. You are close. You have desired from the very beginning to reveal who you are to us. Oh God, would you give us more of your heart this morning? Would you give us a revelation of who you are? Show us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hey, do you know what happens when someone becomes a Christian? Do you know what happens when someone becomes a Christian? In Ephesians, it says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And in Romans, it says that Spirit, the Spirit you received, brought about your adoption to sonship, to daughtership. And by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out to God as our Father. The Spirit Himself, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children. And it goes on to say, now if we are children of God, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is an amazing passage. Last week, I told you guys that we were going to start a new sermon series. I'm so excited to tell you guys about that. It is something that is necessary in your life. But to make that clear to you, I need to tell you a little bit of my story. I didn't know what it meant or what would happen when I became a Christian, but I found myself at the front of a church, kneeling down, giving my everything to Jesus. And as I gave my everything to Jesus, I put my trust, my faith, my hope, everything in Him. My life was His. I could feel the Spirit of God come inside of me. The seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And I knew when that happened that I had become family. I had become family, and that Spirit, maybe I wouldn't have been able to say it with words, but that Spirit made my heart cry out, Abba, Father, Father. The new sermon series that we're going through is called Led by the Father. Led by the Father. And we will be exploring three questions. Does God want to lead me? Does He really want to lead me? Does He want to lead me personally, intimately, and intentionally? Boy, that buggy loves me. Every time I come on stage. Can y'all see it? Okay. Does God want to lead me? This is a question that we all ask, right? The second question is, how does God want to lead me? How does He lead me? This week, I'm going to talk about, does God want to lead me? Next week, Sean will talk about, how does God want to lead me? Ray will talk the next week about, how does God want to lead me? Wow. I'm sorry, guys. But the question that you have to ask yourself every week over this next 3 weeks is, am I willing to be led? Am I willing to be led? This is a huge question that each of us has to answer personally. And the theme passage for this teaching series, Led by the Father, is found in Hosea 11, 1 through 4. Hosea is an amazing book. It is a poetic book where God poetically reveals himself as a faithful and forgiving husband and as a loving father. So I want you to just listen to this. Listen to this passage. Listen to the heart of God. I remember when I first read this passage, my jaw just dropped, right? Because what I had been hearing is the God of the Old Testament, he's evil, he's mean. And the God of the New Testament, he's really nice and forgiving. This is obviously not true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when I read this, it was like, oh man, God, I can see your heart. In Hosea 11, it says, when Israel, this is God talking. I want you to hear his father's heart. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. It was I who taught Ephraim, another name for Israel. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness. It was I, or with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Man, can you feel his father's heart? In the New Testament, it affirms that God as a father is way better than we are as parents. Jesus said, even though you're wicked and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? How much more does your Father in heaven love you? You can hear God's Father's heart here. So why is it so important to understand that I am a child? I have become a child, a co-heir with Christ. And that he is my father. Why is it so crucial to understand this? I'm just going to tell you right now. It's because in this life you will need this father. You will need him. And because in one instant in your life, in the quickest moment of fear, you will believe, or you can believe, that he is not there, that he doesn't care, that I am alone. In just one instant, it just happens to us. Have you felt that? Have you thought that? Man, but when after I had given my life to Jesus at the front of that church, I felt in the deepest places of my heart, I could say, oh man, with all my heart and soul, I can hear you, God. I can feel you. I can tell that you are a father that wants to lead my life. And what I sensed him saying was, Mark, I will lead you. I will lead you through this life. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you want me to go, God. I can tell you want to lead me. You will never leave me alone. With great confidence, I felt that until I was tested. I was tested. When I woke up one morning with one of the most important questions on the mind of a 20-year-old. Am I ever going to get married? Ugh. And it played out like this. This is exactly how it played out. I woke up about 3 months after I got saved, after I gave my life to Jesus, after I had this confidence, I woke up, I opened my eyes, and I said, God, I want a girlfriend. Should I have a girlfriend? Man, and I felt God speak back to my heart. Give me some time. Not give me some time to find you a girlfriend. Serve me. Follow me. Give to me. And I said, yes, Lord. How much time? That is literally what I asked him. How much time? And he replied with two words that I thought would kill me. And I heard them in ultra slow-mo. 2 years. And I was like, no, that's a long time. And it was good. It was so good that God caught me in a peaceful place, just waking up. Because if in another frame of mind, I would have been like, that is the devil. I rebuke you. That is not of God. Man, but the question I was asking. So here's what I did. I said, yes, Lord. I agreed to it. All right, 2 years. Yes, Lord, I will give you 2 years of suffering. I mean, singleness. I will give you this 2 years, God. I commit to you. Before I could say no, I just committed it. Went for it. Man, but you know, the moment you commit something like that and you say, God will lead me. He will come through for me. That is the moment that you begin to ask, does he really want to lead me? Did I really hear from him in that way? Is this true? Does he really want to lead me? And you better believe, man, I began to tear through the scriptures. I wanted to look for examples. Does God lead people in this way? Will he lead me? In John 5:19, man, is such an amazing example from Jesus. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I thought to myself, I'm a son. I'm adopted into this family. I'm even described as a co-heir with Christ. But I thought, that's not fair. That's Jesus. I can't expect to be led like Jesus. So let me look in the Old Testament. Let's look at King David. In 2 Samuel 5, it says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. So David asked the Lord, should I go out and fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Man, it just feels so clear. He just asked him. And then God said, yes, go ahead. I will certainly give them over to you. Wow, that was clear. So David went out and defeated the Philistines. And even more encouraging than that was just a few verses later. This may have not been encouraging to David. But it says, after a while, the Philistines returned. It's like an analogy on life. The Philistines returned. And again, David asked the Lord what to do. And this is what God told him. I want you to listen how clearly and specifically God spoke to him. Do not attack them straight on. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear the sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistine army. And I'm like, what? That is, what? That was a good talk. And I thought, that's not fair either. That's David. That is King David. God really loves David. Let's look in the New Testament. In Acts 18, 9 through 11, Paul had been preaching, and then some people came against him physically. You could tell they wanted to harm him. Then it says, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year, teaching them the word of God. Again, specific. Man, you can tell Jesus is just being tender with Paul, helping him. But you know what I really needed? I needed to go one step further, and I needed to see just a normal person being led by the Father. And I love this example, the example of Philip. Philip is just a normal guy in church. Someone who was filled with the Spirit, and he wanted to go out and do things for God. In Acts 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip." Does God want to communicate himself? Man, he sent an angel of the Lord to Philip. And he said, "Go south on the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." On his way, Philip met an Ethiopian eunuch. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, I want you guys to listen to this. This is just so interesting and slightly awkward. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading the Isaiah the prophet, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So Philip hears from the Lord. I don't know. It seems like this chariot may have been moving, you know, maybe slowly. Maybe it was like just sitting there. Philip runs up to it and then just sort of gets close. And is like, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And if you know the story, the guy did not understand what he was reading. Philip explains it. He gets saved, baptized. A very powerful story. The point is, God led Philip. He was led very clearly. What I learned about the Bible as I searched through it is that the Bible is absolutely full to the brim of people being led by God. The question is, would he lead me? Here's two things also that you need to know about these stories, about the Word of God. God communicates specifically and clearly. God desires to communicate specifically and clearly. This is the other thing. If you look at every story in the Bible where someone came before God with a right heart, they cried out to him. That's the phrase that they use. They sought the Lord. They asked him. He responded every time. He responded every time. That may not mean that he responded with what they wanted, but he responded. That's clear too. Every single time. But would God lead me? That's always the question. Will God lead me? What was going to happen if I committed to follow his lead for 2 years and beyond? So like I said, I decided to say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And after an initial freak out, I actually did pretty good in this 2-year process. I did really well for 1 year. 1 year I did great. It was so easy. And then I met a girl. And this girl was the cutest girl I thought I had ever laid eyes on. And I'm going to tell you right now, and this is a true story. I met that girl, and I fell in love with her. Right there. I understand infatuation. I fell in love with that girl. Okay? I fell in love with her. And do you know what began to happen to my 2-year commitment to God? It began to change in my mind, in my heart. Like, oh my goodness, maybe God wanted me to get married after 2 years. Like, after the end of that 2 years, I'm going to be married. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a truth about life. Love brain cannot be trusted. Love brain cannot be trusted. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you guys have love brain. You're infected with it. You can't think straight. No, he wasn't saying, like, I'm going to get married. He was saying, serve me, Mark, for a solid 2 years. Don't build anything with anyone. Don't try and pursue them. Don't secretly be, like, getting close to them, like, Philip, hey. That's not what he was asking of me. And these 2 years, man, they were painful. I mean, that last year of the 2 years, it was painful. I watched this girl who I was in love with. I watched her graduate, move on, go back to her hometown. I know how that story plays out. Pretty girl graduates, goes home, finds guy, gets married. That's how that story goes. And I was like, God, oh, I'm just watching her go away. Like, oh, God, what? Don't you know how I feel right now? And this is 2005, guys. Facebook came out in 2004. Nobody had it. I didn't have her number. We had barely been introduced. I didn't know this girl. It might as well have been 1890. I'm going to drive over on my horse and buggy. Anyway. I was like, I can't. How's this going to work, God? This is not even possible. Man, but God knew my heart. He knew my heart. I called to him and he answered me. And he greatly emboldened me. That's what David said. He said, I called to the Lord, and he answered me, and he greatly emboldened me. David knew this. Let me find this. I can't find it. I would cry out to God. I remember laying in bed, and I would just talk with him. God, she's gone. She's going to get married. Don't you know what I desires of my heart? And he would speak to me, Mark, I know. Your desires. Trust me. Trust me. Follow me. Don't deviate. He would help me. I was being led by a father. So she went off, never to see her again. And I remember I was driving a leadership retreat that year. You know, we used to have leadership retreat out on the beach at beach houses. It was amazing. You know, we were smaller then. We could fit in a beach house. And I remember driving out there thinking, man, how cool would it be if she was at leadership retreat? And I corrected myself immediately. Don't think that. You are getting your hopes up. Why would she be at leadership retreat? She left already. She's not even a part of our ministry. Why would she be there? And I walked into the room at leadership retreat, and there she was! And I was thinking, oh my goodness. You know, when you like someone, I'm going to just tell you what love brain does. You know exactly where they are at all times. In the room. Some of you guys are like, oh, is it that obvious? She was right there. And then I found out, of course, because I knew where she was. I watched her go outside with Ray, trying not to be a creeper, but I saw her go outside with Ray, and she was talking to him for a while, and then I found out, oh, she was going on staff with this church. I had decided to go on staff with this church. Woo, things are going crazy now. Worship team, you can come on up. Man, let me tell you guys something super exciting, okay? This past Thursday, I celebrated 10 years of marriage with that wonderful woman. Man, I never could have imagined, never could have imagined how God would play out after those 2 years. I gave him everything. And I thought, man, I'm going to lose my whole life. At times I thought, no way, this is wrong. I need to pursue her. You're stupid. What are you doing? And I didn't. I followed God. I followed what he was saying there. And I got married to a woman who has Macy. Her name is Macy. She has the same vision I have in life. I never thought I could have a wife I could be so aligned with, so in love with. I didn't even know that was possible. That was not my example growing up. We have 4 kids now. Man, I never knew what it would be like to parent with someone who was on the same page. That I could just say, man, let's cry out for our kids. Can we just pray? And we get on our knees and we just pray. I don't have a wife who said, why do you always want to pray so much? Man, she challenges me to pray more. This is a beautiful thing. And 100 times over, you better believe her and I have cried out to God and said, Father, will you lead us? We don't know what to do here. We don't know what to do. And he led us. He has led us. Man, he has been faithful. He is faithful. I love the verse in the New Testament where it is saying that even if we're faithless, Jesus will stay faithful because he cannot deny who he is. He is a faithful God. He is one who wants to be intimate and close to us. So what is the goal of this series? What is the goal of the series led by the Father? It is to sow seeds that God does want to lead you. I want to sow that seed in your heart. It is a good seed. It is a biblical seed. God does want to lead you, but you got to let that seed grow. You got to see him lead you. And we want to sow the seed that in some way, shape, or form, God will lead, he will communicate specifically and clearly in some way, shape, or form. Not everyone feels like, I just heard God in my heart. I heard him, you know, like I've never heard God audibly. In some way, shape, or form, God communicates specifically and clearly. This is the example of the Bible, both with common people and the great names of the Bible, who, by the way, were just common people. Right? They were just like us. They just trusted God. They decided, I believe you'll lead me. And they stuck with it. They had faith. I want to sow a seed. We want to sow seeds that say, God responds every time. He doesn't leave you on your own. He didn't put a spirit inside of you to live, to dwell inside of you, the one that makes you cry out, Abba, Father, Father. He didn't put that in you to just leave you on your own. I don't really want to deal with you. I don't want to talk with you. I don't want to lead you. You have my word. Just go. Is that the Father we have? It is not. I want to give you a warning, though. There's a warning with this series. Discerning God's leading is a learning process that requires wisdom. It is a learning process that requires wisdom and faith. If I can just tack that on, it will take faith. I'm glad I threw that warning in there, especially to those who have love brain. When you have love brain, one guy pointed this out to me, and it was so true. Oh my gosh. I mean, I've discipled many people, you know, year in and year out, and I've watched them. They're like, oh my gosh. It's usually guys I'm talking to. Oh my gosh, this girl came to home group. Oh man, she's pretty. I really like her. I'm like, hey, okay, well, what do you think God wants you to do? Man, I think he wants me to be patient. Like, he's calling me to trust him. The next week I talk to them, they're like, we're dating. God told me it's okay. I'm like, what? You just said that other thing. Discerning God's leading is a learning process that requires wisdom. We want to give you some wisdom in that. So Sean will speak next week. Ray will speak after him. And I love what they're sharing on. I think you'll be surprised. And we talked about the Hosea verse and how God wants to lead. He wants to lead us. Man, I can feel God speaking that Hosea verse over myself, over you. As a father, what he says is, Mark, when you were a child, I loved you. I have loved you from the very beginning. And out of your old life, I called my son. He called you out. It was I, Mark, who taught you to walk, taking you by the arms. At first, you didn't realize that. It was I who healed you. I led you, Mark, with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. This is the Father that I am. To you, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek and bent down to feed you. Father, will you give us the grace to respond to your leading, God, and to hold tight to it, to not deviate, God? Would you teach us through this series? And would we learn? And would this series be a part of protecting our whole lives, God? Things are good when we follow your leading. Things are wrong when we don't. Teach us, God. In Jesus' name.